Take a copy of God's Word, if you have it, and turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4. The very last chapter of 2 Timothy. The very last of the Apostle Paul's writings before he died. Second Timothy chapter 4. This is the word of the living God. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. But you, be sober in all things. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. And the future there is laid up for me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Make every effort to come to me soon. For Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he's useful for my service, useful to me for service. But Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak which I left at Troas with Carpus and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Be on guard against him yourself, for he vigorously opposed our teaching. At my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Prisca and Aquila. And the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus remained at Corinth, but Trophimus I left sick at Miletus. Make every effort to come before winter. Eubulus greets you, also Pudens and Linus and Claudia and all the brethren. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. That is the word, the last words of Paul that we have, as he said them to Timothy. And we saw the last chapter in chapter 3 that it was the Word. At the very last verses 15 and 16 and 17, it's the Word that makes one wise unto salvation. It's God's Word that teaches and rebukes and corrects and trains in righteousness that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Well, now Paul continues his thought about the Word. And he commands the pastor Timothy to preach the word. You see there in verse 2 that which many people, many Christians apply to themselves rather quickly today. To be ready in season and out of season. To give an account for the word. But here it says to preach the word. And he's talking to Timothy. He's talking to elders. He's talking to the pastor. That he is to preach the word. That Timothy, if you want someone to be saved, then you need to be ready. And that you need to preach the word. That preaching is is the primary means by which a person who is of God's elect is saved. Preaching. And so he makes a point. Preach the word. Be ready to do it. Be ready to suffer for it, as we've already learned. Be ready to stand upon the gospel. And so because the primary means of salvation and sanctification is the preaching of the word is central in our worship. And so we read the word, we hear the word, we preach the word, we sing the word, we pray the word, we see the word in the sacraments, proclaimed visually through our eyes and even tasting it at the Lord's Supper. And so elders, the ministry of our church, the church of which Christ is the head, is centered on the word. And so we have to be careful to do it. We have to completely rely when we teach and when we preach on the Spirit to give us His word. And that it would not be our word. Elders are called to teach and preach the word, not to tell stories, not to entertain. That's what these people in the last times, these times even, they'll desire. They'll want their ears to be tickled. They'll want to hear what they want to hear. They'll want to hear the stories, the things that make them feel good about themselves. Always. But verse 5, it says to the elders, we must be sober-minded. Endure suffering or criticism would be probably maybe one of the greatest sufferings within the work of the church. We are to do the work of an evangelist and fulfill our ministry. For Timothy, this was very urgent because the apostles wouldn't be around forever. The pastors and elders, they would have to carry on the preaching and teaching of the word. No longer the apostles, because they would end in their death near the end of the first century. That's the reason Paul gives in verses 6-8, in some sense, by implication. He's talking about the end of his life. And so he gives Timothy specific instructions about the spiritual, the church, and the preaching of the word being central. And then he gives instructions about physical matters. He warns him publicly about a particular man, Alexander the coppersmith, the man who opposes the word of God. And then in verses 16-18, we see that we can receive comfort, as Paul received comfort at the end of his life. For when he was deserted by all friends, by all Christians, the Lord was there and strengthened him so that he was able to continue in the ministry of the word and preaching the word. At the end of Paul's life, as this is the last letter, we see confidence from him. Confidence that we should have. This faith in the gospel. He says, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into His heavenly kingdom. The end of Paul's life, the end of your life should be like his, as he says, to Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. But the purpose of our lives is to bring the Lord glory. And that's what He desires at here. May that be the end of our life. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for each other and these lessons we've learned in 2 Timothy, the lessons of the calling of specifically an elder, but also an application of everyone here, that we are called to be to suffer. And those who love You, love Christ, will be persecuted. Lord, we thank You for Your word, which gives us confidence in that time. That You will be with us and You will strengthen us. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. Father, we thank You for the gospel. We pray that the gospel would be preached by our elders and taught by our elders. that we would not turn aside to the right or to the left, that we would not turn to telling entertaining stories for the sake of telling a story. That we would not be men who tries to entertain just so that people would like us and follow us. We pray that we as a congregation would not be people who love to hear stories of men, but stories of God. We would love to hear the Word of God. That all of our enjoyment, we pray that we would find it in Him and not in stories or entertainment. So, Father, we pray that You would protect this pulpit, protect this congregation from sin and error and false teaching. That we would, as elders especially, that You would cause us to endure suffering. That we would do the work of an evangelist, that we would fulfill the ministry that You have set before us. And that for all of us here, through that ministry and through the ministry of the family and family worship and in private worship, that You would deliver us from every evil deed and bring us safely into Your heavenly kingdom. At the right time. Whether that's at the time of our death, or if it be Your will, then when Jesus returns. And we do pray that He would return soon. For He even says, I am coming soon. And may You come soon and deliver us from this present evil age. And that all of our lives would be lived for Your glory. That is so, that as it is so often that we seek selfishly our own wants and our own desires and our own glory and our own honor and praise from men, Lord, may it be that we desire above that, turning from that, that You would give us that desire to bring glory to Your name. And that in our lives and in our death, You would be given glory. Lord, thank You for Your Word. Thank You that it is perfect. There is no errors in it. That You give it to us. And so as we continue in our worship now, we pray that You would put it into our hearts and minds. And that we would live it out and believe it in faith by Your Spirit. Because we pray in Christ's name. Amen.